Hello, citizens. This is Deadbug. Friend. Lover. Father. Father of many, actually. And some of them are from those godless third world countries. And I gotta support them all. Well, not the ones from the godless third world countries, because, you know, their cords can't touch me. But nevertheless, the other ones, I gotta divvy up some money sometimes. And you can help me. Sign up to my Patreon, where you get hundreds of my podcasts and three times as many of my films. And you won't be disappointed.
No siree, Bob.
And I'll also send you intimate photos when I'm drunk. So what are you waiting for? I'll see yous all over there. God bless each and every one of yous. Well, except for yous from those godless nations, which I won't mention. But your money is still good. Oh, and remember, with each 100th sign up, I'm going to buy one of my kids a pack of smokes and maybe even get them vaccinated. I thank you. The following podcast is a Deadbug podcast and is not suitable for children and contains language and views that some may find offensive. So if you're ready to proceed, please sit back, shut that pleasure-giving mouth of yours, smoke them if you got them, and enjoy. On the morning of April 26th, 1986, something went catastrophically wrong in a place that, until then, most of the world had never heard of. And that's Chernobyl. A nuclear power station in northern Ukraine, then part of the Soviet Union. Sitting quietly on the border of Belarus. This place wasn't a war zone, it wasn't under attack. It was just another routine day. A safety test, a box, take an exercise. I mean, it's the kind of thing that happens every day in power plants all over the nuclear power plants all over the world. How many of those are, I don't know. Except for this one, it weren't normal. Reactor number 4 exploded with a force that blew the roof clean off the building and sent radioactive material into the atmosphere. The graphite fire burned for days. An invisible, poisonous, and lethal radiation drifted across Europe. And I remember watching this live on the news at the time. I was young. And being fascinated by it. I mean, not realizing the full brevity of the situation, obviously, in my youth. But still fascinated by it. And, you know, and this radiation drifted across Europe. And people in the nearby towns, because Soviets fucking kept everything hush-hush and everything was, there's no problem here. And, which they still kind of do to a degree. Take a sip of my coffee there. And because they didn't say anything, nearby towns, everybody went to work, they sent the kids to school, they hung up their washing outside. Completely unaware that they were being exposed to something that would follow them and eventually kill a lot of them for the rest of their lives. Officially, the immediate death toll was low. And I remember this specifically. A few dozen workers and firefighters died in the streets after the explosion. They died from acute radiation sickness. But that number has always been misleading because, you know, they're the fucking commies, aren't they? Because radiation, it doesn't work like a bomb. It kills over time. It, you know, lingers. It seeps into the system and waits, I guess. And, you know, I mean, estimated long-term deaths have since ranged wildly different from thousands to tens of thousands, depending on who you ask and they're willing to count, you know, the cancers, the birth defects, the immune disorders, lives shortened, you know, years later, unreported stuff. Hundreds of miles away from the reactor. And I remember seeing the drones, they called them fucking drones or something at the time, of these guys wrapped up with rope with metal plating around and just face masks on that they were sending into the reactor. And I remember watching that live on the fucking news. And I was thinking, holy fuck, that can't be good. And these guys were going in there with instant death, and there have been a couple of shows made on it since. Dramas. I watched a drama that were okay. A couple of things. Nothing that had that impact of when I'd watch it on the news and saw these guys going in there. Like I said, I just have this strong image of these guys wrapped in canvas, or, you know, or like kind of like a tarmac sort of canvasy stuff, tied in with rope with gas masks on and metal shielding over them. Fucking bizarre. And we all know that those guys perished. I mean, that day or almost instantly inside, but they were trying to control, and I think they did, which they were heroes, where it could have been much worse. You know, it could have wiped out the whole country. But within days, an entire city was evacuated. You know, and I don't know how to pronounce any of these fucking commie names. Pripyat. But nearly 50,000 people were told to pack up. Just pack lightly, grab what you could carry and leave the homes. 50,000. Left the homes. And we've all seen those eerie images of playgrounds with toys still in it. And, you know, people's houses with the laundry still hanging and food still on the stove. This stuff from horror stories. Scary stuff. I mean, I remember seeing documentaries of it in the 80s and stuff, talking about it. And these people, they, you know, they left their homes believing they'd be returning in a few days, and, you know, they never did. And after that, you know, they kept making, the commies kept making a wider exclusion zone, 30 kilometers radius, cleared of all human life. I mean, villages, farms, they were abandoned. Schools left frozen in time. I mean, the images. And then what happened? I mean, we never realize how strong nature is. Oh, yeah, sure, I'd see it on Planet of the Apes and in those horror movies and stuff. Remember Omega Man with Charlton Heston? Where the fucking mutants took over the city and, I mean, Will Smith did a real faggy remake of it I never watched. Because he had a dog in his, didn't he? I don't think Charlton Heston had a dog. He like, talked to a statue. Like, he had a mannequin in his house or something. He talked to that, but Will Smith had a dog. But it's how nature comes back. Nature starts taking over. Forests reclaim the streets. Animals move into empty houses. Wolves, boar, elk, birds, insects. And of course, I'm talking about Chernobyl, but I'm sure it would happen in any town. Abandoned, how quick nature. I mean, you see it, don't you? I mean, you see some of these things where these, you know, I mean, I know on those TV shows with the mutants and all that, Walking Dead and all that, but I mean, that's how it is. I mean, how many times have you seen a flower come through the pavement? That's fucking, nature is a strong thing. So nature, it's just, so that's what happened in Chernobyl. You know, it just totally took back. But then, you know, not all the animals returned. There were some animals that were left behind by people. Cats. But most importantly, and what this segment's about is dogs. You know, these people evacuated and they couldn't find the pets. And it didn't matter, really, because they weren't allowed to take their pets. Dogs were tied up. They were locked inside apartments. which is horrible to think for any fucking creature. They're left in gardens, a lot of them starved. Many died. But most importantly, some of them survived. And those that did survive, something remarkable happened. They adapted. And today, believe it or not, there are hundreds of dogs that live in and around the Chernobyl Exclusion Zone. Some right in the ruins of the power plant, which is pretty fucked up. Around the checkpoints and the facilities. And they're the descendants of the dogs, the strays, and the survivors that were left behind, whose entire genetic history since 1986 has unfolded in one of the most contaminated places on the planet. I mean, that's fucked up. That's science fiction shit. And I'm talking about this because I was reading an article on it, which fascinated me. Because researchers have started to study these dogs, and they have found signs that these dogs, they're not even like dogs anymore. They've become like their own species. Like a fucking mutants. Mutant dogs. Chernobyl. And they call them Chernobyl dogs. But they're a whole separate breed living in this exclusion zone. You know, they've got everything from, you know, and I'm no egghead here, so I'm going to try to, you know, break this down as simple as I can speak it, or I'll confuse even myself here. But they got whole different immune system responses, whole different DNA. Their bodies can keep at bay or deal with, can control this prolonged radiation exposure. Like those fucking mutants on, the Charlton Heston Omega Man shit.
That movie fucking rocked.
The mutants. They got the glowing eyes. And they don't have things like extra limbs.
Thank God for that.
But apparently the stuff, it's a lot more subtle. Their whole biology has been reshaped by an environment, of this environment saturated by radioactive isotopes. I mean, for me, it's so complex for me because I always thought isotopes were like gloves.
The type that OJ wore.
But, it's radioactive isotopes, and that's what forms the whole DNA. And these animals, their cells have been forced generation after generation to survive these conditions. They should have killed them. They've got radioactive, radiation-damaged DNA. And that it breaks the strands and it causes mutations and error rates in the whole cell divide. You see, this is what I mean. It's like I'm way out of my league by talking about this. But it's fucking scary. It's scary. That usually they said that animals and people will die from this.
But not only have these mutts survived, they've been able to thrive and to actually reproduce this whole sort of super breed of dogs.
And they figure because in Chernobyl the rules are different. You know, there's no humans, there's no cars, there's no pollution. Well, I mean, I don't know how that's the case, but that's what they're saying. There's less hunting. There's less competition, I guess, amongst the dogs. And the pressure to normally kill off the weak animals that they produce, it's been reduced. At the same time, this radiation, like I said, it's mutated them. And the scientists say that these dogs, they show unusual coat patterns. They got the glowing eyes. They show like white eyes.
They got altered skull shapes. Their immune systems respond completely different than normal domestic dogs. And it's more resilient. Like, they can't be killed by the normal things. And it's fucking insane. So these mutant dogs of Chernobyl. And no, you know, no one ever hears about it. I was shocked. This is just a tiny fucking article. And, you know, just these no one talks about it. Because these dogs, they're not experiments in a lab. They're not like guys dropping shampoo in an eye doing animal testing. I mean, these are the real deal. Something has suffered. And of course, you know, these dogs, they still suffer from parasites, from, you know, injuries and shortened lifespans. And, you know, the puppies don't always survive. And, you know, obviously disease spreads easily amongst them because, I mean, tragically, these are just stray wild animals now. But they have been able to thrive in, like I said, one of the most contaminated places on the planet. Now, they've got these... I mean, I love dogs. So, you know, the story sort of ruminates with me. And, you know, if you don't love dogs, you probably just shrug your shoulders and say, ah, whatever. I love dogs so much, I don't like having dogs because... It's too painful. They live shorter lives and, you know, it's like having a best friend who's only guaranteed 15 years, you know. It's just like, I can't deal with it. I used to always have dogs and had a few tragic incidences and I just couldn't bear it.
Dogs are hard because they're like humans. They really are your best friend.
But there's obviously a lot of other people who love dogs as well. And volunteers now travel into this zone, this exclusion zone, to vaccinate, sterilize, and care for these mutant dogs.
You know, I wish they'd do that to some of the residents where I live in London, England. You know, but if you're saying that, you'd be considered racist, I guess. Anyhow, so some of these dogs, these feral dogs, they're being adopted out. Although I don't know how you could safely adopt out a dog like that.
That multi-generational feral, but I guess you can. But some of these dogs have lived their entire life within the sight of this ruined reactor, lying in the shadow of one of humanity's greatest mistakes, these mutant dogs of Chernobyl. Now, these activists, I mean, they say these dogs aren't monsters. They're not what you expect from a horror movie, but they're just different. They're shaped by, you know, radiation, abandonment, isolation, and I guess time. Very similar to my best friend Ant-Man, the cameraman. He has a lot of mutant qualities, I have to say. I don't mean him any disrespect. But I guess what scientists are saying that these dogs are living proof that disasters don't end when the headlines fade and shit like this just goes on intergenerational. It's, you know, I guess like trees have a memory, you know, there's these horrors that are written into the bones and the blood and the DNA of these animals. And I find that fascinating because, I mean, you think, I mean, because we're always talking about, oh, humanity's going to be wiped out. It's, I don't believe humanity can be wiped out. I think it would just become... like fucking Planet of the Apes. One day there's going to be fucking monkeys riding bicycles and smoking cigars wearing top hats and shit. We can't be wiped out. You know, creatures can't be wiped out. You know, and these poor dogs left behind. You know, and like I said, the ones that survived and like, you know. Now there's hundreds of them. You know, whatever these dogs are becoming... I guess it's, you know, it's not science fiction, but it's a slow, incremental, and it's, you know, it's all happening in real time. It's not a mutation you can see in a photograph. Although, you know, it sounds to me like if they got different kind of coats, you can see that. But I think it's fascinating. I think it's fascinating. I hope someone does a documentary on it. I wouldn't want to do it. I don't want to fucking go in that exclusion zone. Fuck, imagine that. Fucking, you know, 2 weeks later, you got ball cancer. That's all I need. Fuck. And welcome to another episode of Get to Know the Dead, and I am your host, Deadbug. Why, thank you. Thank you very much. You're too kind, you're too kind. So how's everybody doing? I'm doing okay. You know, doing okay. You know, dealing with the same shit I guess the rest of you are dealing with. More recently than usual, but it is what it is. You know, I was reading last night, you know, I'm a news junkie. I say this over and over again, but they've released more of the Epstein files. I'm not sure if how you guys feel about it, but I don't really give a fuck anymore. Because someone said something, some journalist said something that I thought ruminated with me, and they said the new release tells us everything but nothing. Like, I want to know the names. Who are all these fucking rich guys that were nailing all these young girls? You know, they show images, just a lot of redacted stuff, you know, and these recent ones, they show Prince William, or formerly Prince, not William, and Andrew, Prince Andrew, not William. Sorry, Willie. But they show him, he's not called Prince, he's just Andrew. They see him. It's just fucking disgusting. A bunch of fucking middle-aged guys in their bare feet on the table and stuff. And the images of the girls are redacted. And, you know, and they just show Andrew kneeling over one of the girls. And it's just like, I want to know so many things. Like, number one, we know this guy's a fucking slime ball. Put him in fucking jail. Or stop releasing shit that you can't do anything about, and you're just telling us that he's the only slime ball. There's nobody else. Or start showing the other people. I guess these guys got two powerful lawyers that maybe we're never going to know. And, you know, we're just going to kick this guy because he's already down. Like, he's the sacrificial lamb. I want to know everything. I want to know where these girls, these middle-class girls' parents were. I want to know everything. I want it to be a big fucking witch hunt. I want to know all the fucking names. You know, but don't, you know, and they say, what did they say? The fucking files, which I find it impossible to believe. Files that are like worth like two Eiffel Towers. I think might have even been three Eiffel Towers of documents. Three Eiffel Towers, that's what they said. You know, I was reading it in bed last night. I might have been dreaming. But that's what they said. And all you can do is release a picture of some girl fully dressed on the floor with Andrew, former Prince Andrew, standing over, touching the woman's stomach, looking up at the camera, with Epstein sitting behind him with his feet up on the table. I don't even like someone watching me when I'm brushing my teeth. It's fucking disgusting. Fuck. I mean, you know, men's feet aren't the best looking as it is, but, you know, this guy, there's something creepy about this guy. I mean, we all know it, you know, but he's just feet up on the table just watching. It's like, fuck, number one, it's disgusting. Who puts their fucking feet on the dinner table?
You know what I was just thinking? Special Olympics are great, right?
Yeah, they are.
I like them. You know what would be even more amazing? An Ultimate Fighting League where challenged people fought non-challenged people because they're so strong. I feel like it'd be equal.
But that's all you can show us? That's all you got? Three Eiffel Towers worth of stuff? You know, I don't get it. I mean, I want to know more information, or just don't waste my fucking time.
Well, okay, when I was 9, I got molested by a guy with Down syndrome.
Let's find out who these people were. Let's just release every fucking name and every picture and everything. But like I said, I guess everybody's lawyered up. You know, and it's funny because they came up with an interview. Someone dug up an interview from 2002 with Trump. And yeah, Trump says, I've known Jeff for 15 years. He's a terrific guy. He's just a lot of fun to be with.
It is even said that he likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them, well, are on the younger side. No doubt about it. Jeffrey enjoys his social life. You know, and that the statement in itself isn't damning by any means. I mean, you know, I was fucking love on Instagram, people knocking, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio because he's with some 20-year-old, 19-year-old model. I mean, if a guy's being honest, I don't know fucking any 60-year-old guy, and Leonardo DiCaprio is not 60, but I don't know any 60-year-old guy who wants to be with a 60-year-old fucking woman. Like, honestly, we're just, guys are just stuck, just like women are stuck with what we have to be with, and that's just, you're with a 60-year-old woman because that's all you can fucking get. You can't tell me you're not secretly jealous of Leonardo DiCaprio. You know, and there's a trade-off as well, isn't it? I mean, that's why a lot of these women are becoming fucking lesbians and finding some other broad that they can sit around, you know, Bull Dyke, where they can just sit around and fucking, I don't know, watch afternoon TV together and drink cocoa and stuff, because men have different needs from women, I guess. I'm no expert on it, but it's just a lot of that fucking bullshit, or knocking Anthony Kiedis because he's got a young girlfriend. It's like, come on, these guys can do it, so they can do it, but, you know, obviously with Epstein we're talking something totally different here, but I want the fucking names released. You know, I want the fucking names released. I'm fucking fed up of waiting for it too. Maybe we're never gonna know, you know, maybe until all these rich fuckers die. You know, I mean, I'm more and more convinced that Epstein was killed, that they whacked this guy. And why that Ghislaine Maxwell hasn't cut a deal and started naming names, I don't know. Maybe because she knows she'd be whacked as well. You know what I mean? Maybe she knows she'd be whacked as well. That's my only explanation. I guess it is what it is. But yeah, fuck. I mean, more files, more files. And nothing's released. It's like that guy said. These files tell us everything, but nothing. And for me, you know, a lot of the things now, it just seems that everything is manipulation. Everything is manipulated. I mean, I'm reading this thing about the national crime statistics in England where it's, you know, like everybody's saying, well, it feels more unsafe. And, you know, and I have to say, I've never felt so unsafe in my fucking life as some of the shit that I fucking see. You know, I took my kid to see the movies the other day. And, you know, I live in an area that's predominantly, and I'm not saying this, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this is a bad thing or a good thing. You know, probably it's nice to have a bit of racial diversity, but I live in an area that used to be almost totally white. And I went to the movies the other day, and, you know, I was taking my kid to the movies, and out of the theater, there wasn't one white person. There was about, like, fucking 30 people that were all of color. And I was just, what the fuck happened? What the fuck movie is it? It's just all fucking non-white people seeing. It was just like fucking weird. And then I walk. It's just fucking weird. And it's like, at the end of the day, it seems that it's all down to statistics. And the government lying to you, because they say the crime is as lower than it's ever been. So why is it that I feel unsafe and my family feels unsafe? I think it's really safe. But then you look into it and they say that the crime figures are manipulated because they categorize crimes in a different way and it's actually higher than ever. But it's just the fact that people aren't reporting shit now. There's online reporting. It's all fucking manipulation. Government manipulation and sometimes just downright lying to us. And I'm fascinated by all this stuff because of this, the whole ICE shooting and all that shit. I'm getting into it and I'm trying to understand statistics. I'm trying to understand why mentally people are doing what they fucking do or why they think the way they think. And, you know, I'm seeing all this, these ICE people and they're fucking blowing their whistles and then that nurse got shot. And, but then he's got a fucking gun and then they come up with more footage and he's kicking in the back headlight. And I'm thinking, well, that's not good.
And they're trying to make this guy like he's a saint. And then I'm thinking, what's the payoff? I don't understand. You lost your life to go out and blow your whistle to apparently save a bunch of Somalians. And, you know, I don't get it. That wouldn't be what I'd want to say if I've never had any great interaction with Somalians. I don't like them. I don't dislike them. You know, I say this all the time. The rapper T.I. said about Somalians, he called them treacherous niggas. And I said, whoa, that's harsh words. And he said, no, because they're the one people you can't fucking trust. Even black people, they don't have a code. These guys, they'll stab you at the back of your fucking head. And, but then you got all these people out there blowing their whistles for it. And then I'm getting so confused because you see the ICE agent take away the gun and then they shoot him 10 times in the head when the gun's been removed. So did those guys not think he had the gun or did they just execute this fucker? And then I know it's everybody's right to carry a gun in the States, but I don't understand why you would bring a gun to a rally when there's federal agents there. For me, that wouldn't be a smart move. You know, I'm in the States all the time. I don't like dealing with the police. I don't like dealing with the immigration there. I don't. But for me, I just do what they say and get it over with. I certainly wouldn't want to be carrying a gun. And, you know, and I'm sitting there and because it for me, it seems all about manipulation that I'm reading. So I think I'm going to study this. I mean, why were there like 30, 40 people coming out of the movies? I haven't been to movies for a year. But every single one of them, there wasn't one white person. Where do these people all come from? And they don't look like they moved here. They look like they got parachuted in from somewhere. I've said this before. They got fucking head wraps on and stuff like they, you know, and I don't want to get into where they're from. You know, Nigeria, Kenya, I don't know. But where the fuck are they coming from? And, you know, I've had conversations with a couple of people. And, you know, they seem nice. But then on the other hand, I've walked by some people. I walked by some woman the other day and she looked like, you know, she was from the Middle East somewhere and she was pushing her three kids. She looked at me like she hated my fucking guts. She was just staring at me. I felt like saying, what the fuck are you looking at, you fucking bitch? Because you get defensive. You get that sort of vibe like, fuck. Like, I don't mind sharing, but I don't want to be pushed out. But then you think to yourself, well, you know. So what? She was looking at you like a bitch, but then, you know, white people, English people look at you like bitches, like you're, you know, they hate you as well. And that's true. So maybe I'm overreacting. You know, maybe I'm getting triggered. And then you hear our prime minister over here in England, Keir Starmer. He goes over to China, and China, they've just been found out to be spying on us. And he goes over there to be buddies with them. And the whole country seems to be starving. We got fucking food shortages. We can't afford stuff. And what announcements does he make? We can now all visit China. If you're from the UK, you can visit China and you don't need a visa. Who the fuck wants to go to China? Who can afford to be? I can't even afford fucking cat litter for my fucking cat. How the fuck am I going to go to China? And so I don't need a visa? Who fucking cares? These people are so fucking out of touch. And when you got your government that's so fucking out of touch, it makes you question. It makes you look around, you know? And that's when you start thinking, why are there 40 fucking black people coming out of the fucking, you know, or Somalians or whatever coming out of the movie theater. Where did these people come from? And how are they affording to go to the movies? I mean, I know the government is saying we're just letting in doctors and essential workers and, you know, like fucking, you know, nurses and whatever. But fuck, they can afford to go to the movies? Fuck, I'm still taking a hit. I went and bought some fucking nachos and popcorn and it cost me 35 fucking pounds. That's like 70 American bucks.
And, like, I got the movie tickets for free because for my cable package, you get a couple of tickets free a month. But 70 quid for fucking gummy bears and fucking a bag of nachos and a couple of soft drinks? Holy fuck. And then you got these guys who are there, for want of a better word, look like they just parachuted it in or got off a banana boat. I mean, holy fuck. Fuck. I gotta get another job. You know, maybe all this shit is making society nuts, because there was a story the other day, well, just yesterday on the news, where some kid, 15-year-old kid, went and he fucking stabbed a 13-year-old kid. He followed him into the park, and by all accounts, and this is in England, by all accounts, these kids never knew each other. The kid had never, this 13-year-old schoolboy had never done anything to this other kid. And this other kid just walked up to him and stabbed him in the gut with a big fucking kitchen knife. That's it. Killed the kid. And then this guy waited around for the police to come and acted like he was a witness to the kid, that he was the first one who found the body, and watched them try to revive the kid, filming it on his phone. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, what the fuck is society fucking coming to? I mean, I was telling my kids the other day, you know, they were asking me about knives and what were things like when I was a kid. And I mean, I lived in the fucking hood, a shithole, and I never, I think once, someone pulled a knife on me when I was a kid. Once. And that's it. And we all kicked the shit out of the guy so badly he were fucking on life support, probably eating pablum for the next 10 years. But we never had any fear of it, because you just didn't, it didn't exist. And now, you know, I mean, I was walking the other day, and some fucking kids, you know, fucking walking around with balaclavas and shit, you know, like fucking skinny, you know, they weighed about 10 pounds wet, were walking in front of me. And, you know, and I thought I could cross the street, but I'm going to fucking walk up right behind them and just fucking, you know, say excuse me and get by, because I'm not going to, you know, play into this. We're white kids, that we're rappers, you know, fucking whatever. And, you know, most of the kids, when I say excuse me, the kids look nervous. Oh, so sorry. But then one of the kids fucking heard a mutter under his breath that I was walking behind him because I was looking at his ass because I was a pedophile or something. And I was going to fucking lay into the kid. And on that second thought, I just took a second thought and I thought, you know what? These fucking little morons that are this weak-looking bitch. And he looked like a little weak bitch wearing a balaclava and that. It's just, these are the ones who'd be carrying a gun. And that's not how I want to go out. I don't want to be stabbed by some weak bitch. I mean, when I were a kid, if you carried any sort of weapon, that's a chain, or you put your keys in between your fists, if you were considered a coward. You were considered a pussy. And what happened in culture now where that suddenly, you know, all these black guys with machetes and, well, white guys as well, you know, rappers and whatever, carrying knives and carrying guns. I mean, it's just, when I was a kid, you were a bitch. You did it with your fists. And now everything's fucking changed. Topsy-turvy. But, I mean, it's clearly affecting people when you got some kid just randomly stabbing someone. And they arrested the guy. But, you know, it's not going to bring back the 13-year-old kid, is it? It's fucking terrible. You know, it seems like, and, you know, and that's what they were saying about all these people with the whistles and that go out, you know, the drive baby and the, you know, you saw that woman who got shot. God bless her, because she's not here anymore. But, I mean, they show a pretty version of her on the beach with long blonde hair. But the reality was is she's got this shaved head. She looks like she's in a fucking cult. Bug-eyed. She looked like she were part of Heaven's Gate cult. And I just think something's got to not be right. And they say these people are these people out there for hits. They out there for YouTube likes. You know, they're all filming it. And that male nurse kicking in the ICE agent's back headlight, but someone's filming it. Are they just all doing it for likes? Does everybody want to be famous? I don't fucking know. I'm confused. Help me out. Explain it to that bug. So what's everybody think? Are you sick of this whole fucking Iran war? More sick of it as I am.
I'll fucking tell you. I'm fucking fed up of hearing it. I don't even watch the news anymore. That's so fucking boring. It's like, who cares? Except I care, because now everything costs a fortune. I mean, I know these guys are dicks.
I mean, they figured these fuckers could have... I mean, these fuckers could have killed up to 10,000 protesters. I mean, holy fuck. And there are reports that these guys are up on the roof. They're snipers. What kind of fucking mindset you shooting fucking women? Teenagers. In the back of the head. From a rooftop. Holy fuck. That's a fucking ideology for you. Yeah, that's a fucking ideology. Let's import that ideology all over the world. Snipers on the roof, fucking, you know. Then again, they shot that Nurse Pretty guy. And he was unarmed. In the back of the head. I shouldn't laugh. But I just realized I'm criticizing one faction while, you know. You know, and they're protesting, and they, you know, I don't know. Like I said, it's fucking hard, isn't it? Because whatever you say, you know, because this is a case in England where this asylum seeker, this woman, Rhiannon White, she worked at an asylum hotel. You know, this in England, we keep all the asylum seekers who come here illegally in the country in a nice hotel instead of a prison where they should be, but that's how we do it. So this asylum seeker, for no reason, he'd had no interaction with this woman, and this guy's a fucking evil looking fucker too. He followed this woman. She worked at the asylum hotel, and he followed this woman home, and you know, he stabbed her with a screwdriver 23 times. That just happened in 2024 in October, and killed her. And it was all caught on CCTV footage. And he went back to the hotel he was staying at, and he was dancing with friends and dancing as he walked away from the scene of the crime. And, you know, and they show this guy, this magic guy, M-A-J-E-K, who fucking knows, I don't speak banana boat.
And I mean no disrespect to my foreign friends.
But they show his mugshot, and this guy, evil, just nothing. There's nothing in his eyes. There's not hatred. There's nothing. It's like staring at a doll or something. And this guy, you know, apparently, you know, they've given him 29 years in jail. I think we just deport him. Don't even deport him. Just drop him from the plane on the way there. What happened to those good old days when you used to shit and do shit like that? Like in Nam, you know, you take the fucking gook up in the air and... You tell us what you want to tell us, or we drop you out of the helicopter. But apparently this guy's, you know, in no remorse. Nothing. Nothing. And, you know, the family say, you know, her name's just going to be forgotten. She's going to become a distant memory. And all this guy gets is like 29 years.
Probably be out in less than 15.
And I agree. You know, I fucking agree. You know, apparently, like I said, this Miss White's sister, the woman who was murdered, the sister confronted this guy, and apparently the guy just didn't care. He was just sitting there, slouched back in his seat, arms behind his head. He didn't give a fuck. And, you know, and I think the sister said, oh, you know, gave the statement. She said, let's see you do your dancing now. But he probably will. I mean, this guy fucking... How do you fucking stab someone and murder him, a young woman who's got a kid, and then dance afterwards? And they showed him on the CCTV footage. I mean, I did a joint on it. They showed him in the CCTV footage, and he was just staring at it. Like, he was sitting in the lobby of the hotel just staring at it hatefully, and he bumped into it at one point when they were going through the doors and stuff. And... These people are cut from a different swath. That's all I can say. They're cut from a different swath. There's something different about them. They're like those mutant dogs of, you know, the mutant dogs from Chernobyl. There's something wrong in the DNA. There's something split there's something, whether it's inbreeding or whatever. I don't know. I'm not an expert. But that's not fucking normal. And I guess you can't even blame it where this guy's from. I don't know where the fuck he's from. But he came here on a boat illegally across the channel. But then you could say that. But then the kid who, the 14 or 15-year-old kid who stabbed that other kid in the park, his identity's protected. But from what I can see, he's a white kid. He sounds English as a cup of tea. So maybe it's just the whole fucking world is turning into mutants. I don't know anymore. It's all fucked up. Just all fucked up. And on a final note, it's now known that Luigi Menengoni, the guy who shot the healthcare insurance CEO, he will not face a death penalty over murdering the CEO. I guess the judges obviously had to deal with a health insurance company.
Yeah, I know. I'm a bad man. Anyhows, that's it for another episode of Getting to Know the Dead. And Getting to Know the Dead is just one of the many podcasts and, in fact, films that you'll get over on my Patreon. If you're interested, why don't you go over and sign up for as low as $1. I mean, what the fuck? You can't even get a hooker in one of those godless countries like India for $1. So why don't you head over? I'll see you over there. And until next time, this is Deadbug saying adios. I think I smashed up the car.